Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, welcome back to Business Resolutions with my guest, Emilio Ortiz of Survey Metal, the owner and the CEO. And what Emilio was describing was the move from the trading company to establish Survey Metal with a partner and moving into the manufacturing. So yeah, that's where we left off.
Okay, so basically at that point, I purchased off my partner and I transitioned from, I left the trading company.
That transition out of the partner and was amicable?
Yeah, it was amicable. And what we did was concentrated into the operation of Survey Metal. Survey Metal by the way, in 1992, which was 4 years after the company had been founded. It was being run, but I was, you know, it was not my main activity. My main activity was the trading company.
Right.
So when we moved in and we took over full control of Survey Metal, we started working some of the trading into the Survey Metal company. And eventually, that also was phased down because the markets, you know, did not allow us the margin to put in there, and our capital was best concentrated into the processing lines rather than the trading.
Right.
It was a better, you know, more profitable, mm-hmm. and we had to really, you know, with limited resources, you have to really focus on where you want to put your money.
Right.
And from there, we started acquiring larger accounts, and we were really struggling at the beginning because we had one main competitor in Puerto Rico, which was a very, very large service center. And we were like the, you know, the greenhorns, the newcomers. So it was very uphill.
You thought at a given moment you thought you weren't going to make it? Or you knew you were going to make it, it was just going to take longer than you thought? Or?
Well, let me tell you, I didn't think that I would make it in the way that the company was set up with the equipment at that time. So I therefore felt that if indeed we wanted to have a future in the business, we had to make a leap, a quantum leap, into a new building with new equipment that it was set up according to what we really needed for growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And a lot of people thought that I was crazy, frankly, starting from my wife, my son.
A leap of faith. I mean, it was going, things are tough, and you said, okay, in order to make it good, I got to go deeper into my capital investment and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the first thing was that I realized that you need redundancy. You need to have, in order to serve customers want to be, they want to realize that you have the capability to deliver 24/7. If you only have one line manufacturing one product and that line goes down, then you lose that capability. Yeah, and yeah, that is something that's an uncertainty that an OEM cannot afford. And in order to have credibility, you really have to do what we did,
right,
and create traction and build from there.
Is that when you bought this particular facility? Or?
Well, we built it from the ground up.
You built? Oh, this wasn't okay.
So yeah,
But that's when you decided to buy this property and
exactly.
to build it. Wow.
Right.
Okay. So you. Yeah. You have a person a really integrated.
A lot of people were really looking at me. They're very funny. You know. I mean, they yeah. they say this guy, you know, it's yeah. really going to go out.
Blazing fire.
Yeah. yeah.
That, you know, by the way, because when we first met, it was a long time ago, and my role as a lawyer and it was with your father.
Right.
God bless him.
I remember that very well, yeah.
And he was a distributor of marble and tiles. United Tiles. And well, you weren't in that business.
No.
That was his business. And when did he come to Puerto Rico and how did he establish himself? That's another long story.
Yeah, it's a long story. To make it short, he left Cuba for Mexico. And he was in Mexico, and he was not allowed to get into the United States. They did not give him a visa. So he got a job in Mexico, and he was working in Mexico. One day he got to the I think Laredo, and there was a huge festivity in Laredo, and there were no hotels rooms available, and he had to stay overnight. So he took a taxi and told the guy he went through the border. He went to the customs guy at the border and says, "Listen, you know, identified him. And this is my card, calling card. I'm doing this work, and but I need to sleep. So I need to sleep in the USA side and come back tomorrow. All rooms are full," and they allow him to come in. So.
That's how he got into the United States.
Yeah, right? He slept at the hotel. He called me from the hotel. He says, "From here to Miami." So he took a bus to Houston, and then he flew from Houston to Miami, and I went with him to immigration, directly to the immigration office, and say, "You know, I did this. This is what I did."
And this is the truth.
Yeah,
this is the truth.
And
the truth is sometimes it's so surprising.
Yeah.
That somebody's just frank and upfront and everything. It makes a great deal of difference.
The huge difference there was that I was an American citizen at that time already.
This was what year, more or less?
This was.
You already had done serving medal, or you're
no. This
was
70.
You were still in the trading.
This was 70 or 71, something like that.
Okay.
And I have become a citizen while living in Houston, still in Houston, before coming here to Puerto Rico. So I was naturalized in Houston. So you know, the thing is that the guys told me, "Hey, you don't know how important it is that you are a citizen of the United States coming with your father. Otherwise, your father would have been locked tonight, and we wouldn't know when he would come out."
Wow.
So he walked away out with me, and everything was fine after that.
And then he moved to Puerto Rico, and he established that. That was a business that he had in Mexico, tile and marble?
No.
I knew you were going to say that. It's not that easy.
No, the business we had in Cuba was cigars. I mean, we were cigar distributors.
Right.
Yeah, we were the ones that supplied.
And in Mexico, and he was in cigars in Mexico?
He was also in cigars. The company that hired him knew him from Cuba and made him, sales manager, Ornelas, Puros Ornelas, that was the Mexican brand. And he was working with them on that. When he came here, he didn't speak one word of English, and he never did, even though he studied in Tampa when he was a kid, but he never spoke English. But and his first cousin was born in Tampa, and that's why I came to the States, or how I came to the States, with an immigrant visa. The first day I landed, thanks to my blood cousin who was an American-born citizen. But anyhow, that's another story.
No, that's a story we're going to get into. But then he comes and
then he comes in here and he works for Sears. He lands a job for Sears. Where the guy that was human resources at that time, a guy by the name of Aguayo, he has an interview with him because my father had a large philatelic collection of stamps, and he sold his stamps to the jefe de los bomberos, the fire chief,
Gandara.
And Gandara purchased his stamps from him, gave him some needed cash, and also introduced him to Aguayo at Sears. He was the bridge. And Aguayo said, "Hey, you know, I cannot give you a job because you can't speak English." And my father said to him, "All right, forget about the job. Let's talk." By the time he finished talking, he says, "You got a job."
Well, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. I'm with Emilio Ortiz of Servimetal.